Today is the 18th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you here in the middle of the week. And off we go on our adventure for today, which will lead us first into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, verse 27 through 32, verse 44. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the nations of Israel and Judah with people and animals. Once I watched over them to uproot them, to tear them down, and to wreck, ruin, and hurt them. Now I will watch over them to build them up and to plant them, declares the Lord. When those days come, people will no longer say, fathers have eaten sour grapes and their children's teeth are set on edge. But each person will die for his own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes will have his own teeth set on edge. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new promise to Israel and Judah. It will not be like the promise that I made to their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. They rejected that promise, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the promise that I will make to Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my teachings inside them, and I will write those teachings on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each person teach his neighbors or his relatives by saying, know the Lord. All of them, from the least important to the most important, will know me, declares the Lord, because I will forgive their wickedness, and I will no longer hold their sins against them. The Lord provides the sun to be a light during the day. He orders the moon and stars to be lights during the night. He stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. His name is the Lord of armies. This is what the Lord says. Only if these laws stop working, declares the Lord, will Israel's descendants stop being a nation in my presence. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens could be measured, or the foundations of the earth could be searched, would I ever reject all of Israel's descendants because of everything that they have done, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for me from the Tower of Hananel to Corner Gate. A measuring line will stretch from there straight to the hill of Garib. And then it will turn to Goa. The whole valley, filled with its dead bodies and ashes, and the whole area to the Kidron Valley, as far as the corner of Horse Gate in the east, will be holy to the Lord. It will never be uprooted or torn down again. The Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah during Zedekiah's 10th year as king of Judah. This was Nebuchadnezzar's 18th year as king. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was blockading Jerusalem. The prophet Jeremiah was locked up in the courtyard of the prison. This prison was in the palace of the king of Judah. When King Zedekiah of Judah locked up Jeremiah, Zedekiah asked him, "Why are you prophesying? You are saying, 'This is what the Lord says. I'm going to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will capture it. King Zedekiah of Judah will not escape from the Babylonians. He will certainly be handed over to the king of Babylon. He will talk to Nebuchadnezzar in person and look him in the eye. Nebuchadnezzar will take Zedekiah to Babylon, and Zedekiah will stay there until I deal with him,' declares the Lord. when you fight the Babylonians, you won't win. Jeremiah said, "The Lord spoke his word to me." He said, "Jeremiah, your cousin, Hanamel, son of Shallum, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is in Anathoth, because as the closest relative, it is your responsibility to buy it.' Then, as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the prison. He said to me, 'Please buy my field that is in Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. It is your responsibility to purchase it, because the rights of the closest relative belong to you. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that the Lord had spoken to me. So I bought the field in Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and gave him the money. The field cost 7 ounces of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, had people witness the signing of the deed, and paid out the silver. Then I took the sealed copy of the deed, containing the terms and conditions, as well as an unsealed copy. I gave the copies of the deeds to Baruch, son of Neriah, and grandson of Maaseiah. I did this in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, and the witnesses who had signed the deed, and in the presence of all the Jews who were sitting in the courtyard of the prison. Then I gave Baruch these orders. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Take both of these documents, both the sealed and the unsealed copies of the deed. Put them in a clay jar so that they will last a long time. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. My people will again buy houses, fields, and vineyards in this land." After I had given the copies to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord. I prayed, "Almighty Lord, you made heaven and earth by your great strength and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show mercy to thousands of generations. However, you punish children for the wickedness of their parents. You, God, are great and mighty. Your name is the Lord of armies. You make wise plans and do mighty things. You see everything the descendants of Adam do. You reward them for the way they live and for what they do. You performed miraculous signs and amazing things in Egypt. To this day, you are still doing them in Israel. You made a name for yourself that continues to this day. You brought your people from Egypt with miraculous signs and amazing things, with a mighty hand and a powerful arm, and with great terror. You gave them the land that you swore with an oath to give their ancestors, the land flowing with milk and honey. They entered and took possession of it. However, they refused to obey you or to follow your teachings. They didn't do anything you commanded them to do, so you brought all this disaster on them. See how the dirt ramps have been built up around the city to capture it. Because of wars, famines, and plagues, the city will be handed over to the Babylonians who are attacking it. What you have threatened to do has happened, as you can see. Yet you, Almighty Lord, told me to buy a field with money and get witnesses to confirm it, although the city was handed over to the Babylonians." The Lord spoke his word to Jeremiah. He said, "I am the Lord God of all humanity. Nothing is too hard for me. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to hand this city over to the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. They will capture it. The Babylonians who are attacking this city will break in, set this city on fire, and burn it down. They will burn down the houses of people who made me furious by going up to the roofs to burn incense to Baal and to pour out wine offerings to other gods. Ever since they were young, the people of Israel and Judah have done what I consider evil. The people of Israel have made me furious by what they've done, declares the Lord. The people in this city have made me so angry and furious from the day they built it to this day. So now I must remove this city from my presence. The people of Israel and Judah have made me furious because they are evil. The people, their kings and officials, their priests and prophets, and the Judeans, and those who live in Jerusalem, have turned their backs, not their faces, to me. I taught them again and again, but they refused to listen and learn. They set up their detestable idols in the temple that is called by my name, and they dishonored it. In the valley of Ben-Hinnom, they built worship sites for Baal to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech. I didn't ask them to do this. It never entered my mind. I didn't make Judah sin. You have said this about the city. Because of wars, famines, and plagues, it will be handed over to the king of Babylon. Now this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I am going to gather the people from all the lands where I scattered them in my anger, fury, and terrifying wrath. I will bring them back to this place and make them live here securely. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them the same attitude and the same purpose so that they will fear me as long as they live. This will be for their own good and for the good of their children. I will make an eternal promise to them that I will never stop blessing them. I will make them fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will enjoy blessing them with all my heart and soul. I will faithfully plant them in this land. This is what the Lord says. As I brought all these disasters on these people, so I will bring on them all these blessings that I have promised them. You have said that this land is a wasteland, without people or animals living in it. You have also said that it has been handed over to the Babylonians. But people will once again buy fields in this land. They will buy fields for money, sign deeds, seal them, and have people witness the signing of the deeds. This will happen in the territory of Benjamin, in the region of Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities on the mountains, in the hill country, and in the Negev, because I will bring them back from their captivity, declares the Lord. First Timothy 3. This is a statement that can be trusted. If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop, he desires something excellent. A bishop must have a good reputation. He must have only one wife, be sober, use good judgment, be respectable, be hospitable, and be able to teach. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but he must be gentle. He must not be quarrelsome or love money. He must manage his own family well. His children should respectfully obey him. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new Christian, or he might become arrogant like the devil and be condemned. People who are not Christians must speak well of him, or he might become the victim of disgraceful insults that the devil sets as traps for him. Deacons must also be of good character. They must not be two-faced or addicted to alcohol. They must not use shameful ways to make money. They must have clear consciences about possessing the mystery of the Christian faith. First, a person must be evaluated. Then, if he has a good reputation, he may become a deacon. Their wives must also be of good character. They must not be gossips, but they must control their tempers and be trustworthy in every way. A deacon must have only one wife. Deacons must manage their children and their families well. These deacons who serve well gain an excellent reputation and will have confidence as a result of their faith in Christ Jesus. I hope to visit you soon. However, I'm writing this to you in case I'm delayed. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The mystery that gives us our reverence for God is acknowledged to be great. He appeared in his human nature, was approved by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was announced throughout the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken to heaven in glory. Psalm 88, a psalm by Korah's descendants, for the choir director, according to Mahalath Leonoth, a maskil by Heman the Ezrahite. O Lord God, my Savior, I cry out to you during the day and at night. Let my prayer come into your presence. Turn your ear to hear my cries. My soul is filled with troubles, and my life comes closer to the grave. I am numbered with those who go into the pit. I am like a man without any strength, abandoned with the dead, like those who have been killed and lie in graves, like those whom you no longer remember, who are cut off from your power. You have put me in the bottom of the pit, in deep, dark places. Your rage lies heavily on me. You make all your waves pound on me. Selah. You have taken my friends far away from me. You made me disgusting to them. I'm shut in and I can't get out. My eyes grow weak because of my suffering. All day long I call out to you, O Lord. I stretch out my hands to you in prayer. Will you perform miracles for those who are dead? Will the spirits of the dead rise and give thanks to you? Selah. Will anyone tell about your mercy in Sheol, or about your faithfulness in Abaddon? Will anyone know about your miracles in that dark place, or about your righteousness in the place where forgotten people live? I cry out to you for help, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer will come into your presence. Why do you reject my soul, O Lord? Why do you hide your face from me? Ever since I was young, I have been suffering and near death. I have endured your terrors, and now I am in despair. Your burning anger has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They swirl around me all day long like water. They surround me on all sides. You have taken my loved ones and friends far away from me. Darkness is my only friend. Proverbs 25, 20 through 22. Like taking off a coat on a cold day, or pouring vinegar on baking soda, so is singing songs to one who has an evil heart. If your enemy is hungry, give him some food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him some water to drink. In this way, you will make him feel guilty and ashamed, and the Lord will reward you. Okay, so in our reading from Paul's letter to Timothy today, we encounter the formula that is widely used for church leadership, especially in the ordination process, as someone is being discerned, usually by a committee of some sort, as they seek their calling in church leadership. And so Paul offers characteristics that are necessary for the responsibility of leading God's people. So if you feel that call and you are aspiring to that, you are an aspirant and have entered that process, then you're well aware of this. If not, this is one of the go-to passages that are used in that kind of discernment. These are the qualities that a person needs, according to the Apostle Paul, to serve in this way. So let's just take a look. Paul says this is a statement that can be trusted. If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop. Now, some of you in certain denominations and traditions know exactly what a bishop is because you have a bishop. And he may lead your church, but is probably also over other churches. This word bishop, in the original language, episcopi, is usually translated overseer. In the God's Word translation that we're reading from this week, it's translated bishop, but that's not tremendously unusual. The King James Version of the Bible translates this word as bishop. Some translations use words like supervisor, but probably most common, overseer. And Paul says a person who seeks this, who sets his heart in this direction, desires something excellent. But then he goes on to show that excellence is required in this position. And he's right. It's not an easy job. And there are characteristics that are necessary for the person to sustain themselves in the care of God's people. So what are those characteristics? The person must have a good reputation. He must have only one wife. He must be sober and use good judgment, and be respectable, and be hospitable, and be able to teach. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but must be gentle. They must not be quarrelsome or a lover of money. He must manage his own family well. His children should be respectful. And Paul inserts a little aside here. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own family, then how can he take care of God's church? They must not be a new believer. And Paul says that this is because of arrogance. This is because the person might become arrogant and will be condemned. The person must be respected by people who are not believers. And Paul says this is because they can very easily become the victim of disgraceful insults, right? All the chatter that goes around. So the Apostle Paul is telling his son in the faith, Timothy, who is leading and pastoring the church at Ephesus, these are the criteria you want to look at as people come forward to seek and become servants and leaders of God's people. And then he talks about another office of leadership in the church known as the diaconate, deacons. And in church polity, or like the hierarchy of leadership or authority, this is usually the starting place. And I can't make like blanket statements about the global church because, you know, your church may have different traditions or ways of doing this. But historically, this is kind of the norm. So even if you were feeling moved by the Holy Spirit to move toward ministry and you wanted to become a pastor or a presbyter or a priest, normally you would first have to serve in the diaconate. Then you will serve for a period of time while further discernment takes place, and as you kind of get to know what you've gotten yourself into. And I know this process. I've been through this process, and I can say, yep, every bit of it is valuable, necessary, essential. And one of the things that became apparent to me through the process is, oh, the diaconate. When you become a deacon, that's the highest position you're going to have, because every other position you seek brings with it certainly more influence and authority, but you are also lowering yourself further and further as a servant of God's people. And until you can kind of wrestle through and disassociate your personal value as a person and as a child of God from the job that you have, you're going to struggle with some of this stuff. So Paul says the characteristics for a deacon are that they also must be of good character, and they must not be two-faced, which just does not work well in ministry. People just get taken out and hurt badly in those kind of circumstances. They must not have an alcohol addiction. Some translations use wine, some translations use strong drink, but we all know what we're talking about here. They must not use shameful ways to make money. In other words, they must not use dishonest gain to feed their greed problem. And they must possess clear convictions about the mystery of the Christian faith. In other words, that they must understand what it is that they believe and are leading people toward. But according to the Apostle Paul and what he's laid out here, it also encompasses the family and the spouse. There's no way to get into this without it affecting your family, and everybody's got to be ready for this, especially your spouse. So Paul says wives must be of good character. They must not be gossips. They must be able to control their temper and be trustworthy in every way. And according to Paul, there must only be one spouse, and a deacon must be able to manage their children and their families well. And when that is lived into, according to Paul, those deacons who serve well gain an excellent reputation and will have confidence as a result of their faith in Christ Jesus. So if you feel a call in this direction, then this is what to live into as you walk the path toward this destiny. And if it's not something that you aspire to at all, it is what you should expect in your leaders. And so, Father, we pray for our leaders, especially our spiritual leaders today, because it is an impossible job. And the only way to succeed long term in it is to understand that without your Holy Spirit's guidance and our constant attentiveness to it, can we succeed in it? So we pray for our pastors, our leaders, our deacons, our priests, our presbyters, our bishops, and all of those who are called and dare to step forward into spiritual leadership. We need you in every moment of every day and in every action. We need you in every thought. word and deed of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead your church forward through your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here, so be sure to check in. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at DailyAudioBible.com. There's a link. It's right on the homepage. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good evening, dear family, Daily Audio Bible. I'm pleased to give a praise report. This is Vicky from the desert. I ask for prayer for my son, Jacob, who's been having health problems. And he had a GI scope, and happy to say that that came back. The biopsies came back all negative, all clean. I'm happy about that. I still am asking for prayer, though, for Jake. He is still having the low temperatures, where his temperatures are getting down to 96, and it's happening quite often still. He says that it's better. But if you could please join me in prayer for Jake. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Lord, I come to you, we come to you and we lift up Jacob and ask you for his healing. Lord God, you know everything and you are everywhere. And I'm sure you know what's going on inside Jake and why he's having these low temperatures. And I just ask that you would heal him. Touch him, heal him, and save him. In Jesus' precious name I ask. Amen. Thank you, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Vicky from the desert. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Alta Lee, Hallie, calling on the 14th of October. We do pray for Patrick. God, we just pray that you would come to him, dreams, visions, whatever it takes to get his life back in order. And I'm not sure if Patrick is your son, and then there's a friend, or if the friend, or what, how. But I'm really lifting him up to the God who does impossible things, that moves mountains. And may you all have peace and encouragement that Patrick has a hope and a future. And please continue to pray for my friends whose son died. They're having a viewing and a memorial service this coming week. 18th and 20th, and so Carla and Howard, and the boy who died was David, and his brothers Chris, and then the grandma's Anita, and we lift them all up to you, God. And then my friend Darlene's getting over that West Nile virus. We're praying for her bladder to be working properly and her leg to heal, but she should be getting to go home on Tuesday, which is a big praise. What would we do without our Lord to pray to? What would we do without the Lord? Greater, he moves mountains. He's so wonderful, so faithful. He gives us this beautiful day. He loves us. He answers our prayer. I thought my dog was going to have to be put to sleep, but I found a vet that just said, can put her on heart medicine, and so I'm praising God for that. She's doing much better. God is good. She won't live 15 more years like Hezekiah because she's already 15. But love you all. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Alta Lee Halley on the 14th of October, and I just am excited about the man who applied for a job at a Christian organization, hasn't heard anything yet. And Father, we just pray for peace, encouragement, that you're giving him a hope in the future, and this job will be better. He can ask or think. He will trust in you with all his heart, lean not unto his own understanding, in all his ways acknowledge you, and you'll direct his path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the answer will be better than you can ever imagine. And tomorrow night we're meeting with my brother. He came from California. He's here in Colorado Springs. I just pray this will be a breakthrough for our family. And even though he's not a believer, I pray, God, that he will ask about the hope that is in us. And that we will have a good time, laugh, and cry, and reminisce, and he and Lon can become good friends. And also my sister-in-law, Bonnie. I just thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, and just pray. Somebody pray today for everybody and all their families, and I just pray peace for all of us with our families, and that our families will turn to the Lord and be saved. Especially ask for a salvation for Yanni and Maya, Bob and Mac, Colin, and Jason will contact Lon, God, and that he's growing in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my sweet siblings. Thank you, Brian and Jill and China. I just pray that China's delivery will go smoothly in the presence of God. May the Lord bless all of you. I'm praying for your family. Thank you for everything that you do for us and for the reading of the powerful Word of God. The Psalm 84 was really intense. It was really beautiful. Thank you, Brian. Biggie from the desert. I pray for Jacob and Jennifer. In the name of Jesus, I pray alongside with you in one accord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for my endeavors. Thank you, Father, for all these requests, dear God, that come out in the air. Dear Father God, I pray, dear God, that you incline your ears, your Father, and your children's lips, Father God. And I pray that you heal Jacob and Jennifer, Father, that you remove every cancer cell, dear God, from their bodies. I claim the powerful scriptures when you say that by your stripes they've been healed. So I want to come in agreement with my sister, dear Father, and that you have mercy upon them, dear God, and that you be with them, dear Lord, and that you do a miracle, Father God, in their lives. Father, we trust you and we believe that you can do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Vicky. God bless you. We will continue to pray. Keep us posted. I love you.